An air of expectancy pervades the room. I'm seated with my fellow students in the auditorium and longing to hear a familiar name. I had worked hard that year in my studies, and while I told myself it did not really matter, deep down inside, the desire grew. The school was handing out awards to various students for their achievements through the year. During this event, I play a very interesting little mind game. You have worked hard this year. You could get this next award. No, somebody else will win it, but you have a chance. As the fated moment arrives, when the name is to be read out, my heart begins to beat faster in anticipation, and then I hear the name. It's not mine, but one of my friends. This is where it gets interesting. On the outside, I am clapping for my friend and their success. But on the inside, a very different scenario is going on. Why did he get it? I worked harder than him. I can't believe they would give it to him. Oh, I think I know why. He is related to one of the teachers, and that's why they picked him. It's always rigged. It's never what you know, it's who you know. All the while I'm clapping and smiling and trying to appear composed, the clouds begin to gather, and for the next few hours, I'm feeling a bit depressed and a little bit angry. It's just another day of life, powered by the Duracell. It does not take a child very long to work out that if they want to be valued and accepted, they must be first among equals. Welcome to the world of comparison. Have you ever fallen into the trap of buying one of your children something for their birthday and nothing for their sibling? Usually all hell breaks loose and your deprived child is parroting the words, "It's not fair," amidst tears and screams and sometimes even a tantrum. Then there is the "watch me" competition at the park. You are watching one of your children slide down the slide and you smile as they slide down. Behind you a voice calls out, "Watch me!" And you turn to see your other child swinging on the swing. You turn your attention to something else and miss one of your children cry out, "Watch me!" And then you get hit with a whole string of "Watch me's!" like machine gun fire, each "Watch me" increasing in volume and intensity. Then we sit down for lunch. And just as you're about to indulge, you hear this lovely little tune. "He's got more than me. Not fair. I want more." This is the essence of life powered by the Duracell. As we get older, we try and be a bit more refined, but comparison and attention seeking form the hub of human existence. Most school curriculums seem to understand the need for comparison and attention seeking. Being herded together with a group of your peers away from the affections of the home environment provides the perfect culture to embed Duracell principles. The next 12 years will be a race to comparatively excel in one or more of a number of areas and thus secure a bright and happy future. While it is not the purpose and intention of many teachers to create this environment, our desire for value and approval makes it almost impossible to avoid. Our Western culture seems to favour the more intelligent. Comparative intelligence is an asset that will take you far. Have you ever wondered why children who have the ability to retain and regurgitate knowledge tend to be awarded more highly than a child that tends to be more gifted with their hands? Could you imagine gaining university entrance because you really knew how to look after a garden or fix a car engine? There are places for people with those skills, but fortune tends to place the academics at the top of the pile. Year after year, children bring home their report cards, and they develop a perception of themselves based on that report card. I've experienced a number of situations where a person was gifted with their hands but struggled academically. As a result, you often find them to be very self-limiting with comments like, "That's beyond me," or "I could never do that," or the blatant, "I'm too dumb for that." But never fear, there are other ways to succeed. Every school system has a sports program that allows children to develop an athletic comparative guide. Children will spend thousands of hours developing an athletic skill that will hopefully one day bring them power and glory that they yearn for. We all know that sport is just a game, right? Tell that to all the English soccer fans that rampaged the streets of Europe during the World Cup. And why is it that various sportsmen can be paid millions of dollars a year for kicking a piece of leather around? trying to get it between two sticks. Sport is serious business, as it provides one of the simplest means of gaining worth by achievement and getting all the attention you could wish for. It is one of the best systems of feeding the Duracell. It is one of the best ways of killing the belief we can be valued by relationship rather than achievement. One of the most interesting things about sport is that even though you can perform at the highest level, if you come second, no one will remember your name. The emotional trauma of losing can be devastating. I remember watching a soccer player just crumble on the ground sobbing like a baby because of his failed goal attempt in a penalty shootout that lost his team the prize trophy. I remember watching his coach assisting him off the field and wondering how much he felt he was worth at that moment. But of course it's only a game. Yes, but it's a game that is a life and death struggle for value and acceptance. We could list a number of other gods that we hope would show us favour and give us the success and happiness we desire. There is the realm of physical beauty, the cutthroat world where fame can be won or lost based on the structure of your cheekbones or the size of your chest. How many young women do you know that have cried themselves to sleep at night because they felt they didn't make the grade? We have recently seen a rapid rise in a problem called anorexia that drives mainly women to starve themselves so they can get down to an impossibly small figure. What about the realm of wealth creation or job status or even suburb status? I've worked in the white-collar corporate world for some years, and it is quite interesting to observe the pecking order. You can tell a person's position by the type and quality of their office furniture. The top boss has a separate room for his office with a window view to the streets below. He has the leather high-back chair with the armrests. He has the big stained wood desk with the latest computer sitting on it. The next guy down also has his own office, but his window view is not quite as good, and his chair not quite as fancy, and his computer not quite as fast. The next guy down just has his office partitioned, and his chair has no armrests. Oh, and he does not have a hands-free phone, and he can't even see out the window. It's laughable when you think about it, but it is very serious business in the corporate world. Office furniture is an important part of effective comparison with your peers. The list of comparative opportunities is endless in the world of the Duracell, but they usually tend to fall into one of a few basic categories. 1. Educational level. 2. Athletic ability. 3. Job status and income level. 4. Physical appearance. 5. Possessions or assets. 6. Nationality. These are the gods that the world worships and hopes will favour them. They are exacting taskmasters and usually demand full submission if you hope to be favoured by them. They will usually demand the sacrifice of family and friends, and if you are lucky, you may have your moment of glory before you fade into nothingness. All of us become slaves to these gods through the power of the Duracell, and it is these gods that the God who made the heavens and the earth seeks to save us from.